Before we get into that, Wanda wants to give us a testimony this morning. So we'll have her share. Praise God.
I went to the doctor on Friday. I had to see a retina specialist because last year when I went to the eye doctor, he told me there was hemorrhaging behind my right eye. Nothing to worry about, but they wanted to keep an eye on it. So we went on Friday, and they took me back, did a couple tests, dilated my eyes and everything. Then I had to sit there for a while. The whole time I'm sitting there, this little voice says, "It's not going to be a good report." And I'm like, "Oh, yes, it is." So they finally took me back, and he comes in, and he says, "How you doing?" I said, "Good." So he sits down at his computer. He's looking at the pictures, and he goes, "I don't see much of a change. Let me look at your eye." And he looked at the right eye with this big, bright light, and I'm like, "I can't see." He goes, "Well, no, you're not supposed to." And he looked at his nurse, and he just went like this. Then he looked at my left eye, and he goes, "I have to check your right eye again." He comes back to my right eye, and it was brighter this time. And I'm like, "I really can't see." And he goes, "You can go." He said, "It's gone. It's completely gone." So then, I don't remember when it was, I went to the dentist, and a piece of my tooth broke off. And he said, "It's nothing drastic. You can wait, get it done now, or wait till later." And I said, "Well, I'll wait till later." Well, it started hurting, and it really started hurting. I was in a lot of pain. So I went back, and he goes, "Yeah, I don't know what's going on here." He said, "Whatever happened, your gums are reacting, and they're growing up around the tooth." So he gave me Novocaine, and he did what he had to do, and I was in a lot of pain, but I'm like fighting this. I'm not going to give the devil the victory. And it sort of went away, but then it like got swollen again, and it sort of discolored, and I thought, I should go back to the dentist, and I had a note, call the dentist. And every time I went to call him, I'm like, "No, you're not going to call the dentist." So Friday night, we had eaten supper, and I brushed my teeth, and it really bled. So I had to pack it. It stopped within 2 minutes. I mean, it was no biggie. I thought, "Well, it's just my Coumadin, you know, it's making it bleed more." So Monday night, we had a board meeting, and we went to Longhorn, and I ate steak, but I chewed in this side. So I went home, brushed my teeth, flossed it. I have these little picks, and I... And I put the pick in, and I went, "Something's weird." And I looked in my mouth, and there was a piece of white laying against my gum. So I got the tweezers, pulled it out, rinsed it off. I thought, "This is as hard as a rock." But immediately, my gum started going down. And I kept it because I want to take it to the dentist and show him, but I'm not going back for a year because everything's fine. No, I don't have a problem anymore, so I'll just go for my checkup. But my gum's down. It doesn't bleed when I brush or floss or pick. So everything's really good. But I just want to tell you, these are my little notebooks that I have from Dr. Chip's book. So I carry them with me. You know, I mean, like, when I go over to Alyssa's wife's cat sitting, I would read them and just go over scripture and scripture. And I knew I was going to the doctor Friday, but I didn't start reading these Thursday. You gotta get in the Word and stay in it. Amen. You can't slack off for any simple reason, because as soon as you do, that devil gets in there. Amen. But you know what? I have the victory. Me and Jesus. So, yeah. Got these books, and no, you can't borrow them.
Read your own Dr. Chip book.
And today we're going to look into the scriptures. I'm going to tell you that we're dealing with knowledge, and really knowledge that overcomes. And I want to talk about today because I want to look at it. God gives knowledge, and we need to understand this. I don't care how much you read about the knowledge. The knowledge has to become you and your life and what you live. Amen. It must be that, or it will not work. As I was talking about, you know, the fact that I mean, during COVID, I mean, I had minister friends who died. Rhema graduates have died during COVID. They sat under the same kind of teaching I did. You know, what goes wrong? What happens with people? You know, this isn't a Sunday practice. This is not a Sunday, and you got to get over into this. You know, Mike talking, you know, about finances. It can't be something that's on a Sunday, and you just go to some meetings and, wow, wasn't that really neat? It becomes part of your life, the way you live, the way you talk.
Amen.
It becomes that. And we need to understand this about knowledge. We used the scripture last year in opening of the Hosea 4:6, which says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then he goes on to say this. God says, it's lack of knowledge, but because you've rejected knowledge, I've also rejected you from being my priest. Because you have forgotten the law of God, or we could say the knowledge of God, you forgot it. He said, I also will forget your children. You see, you need to understand, we're dealing with this thing. This is a lifestyle and a way that you live. Knowledge, sometimes I've had people reject knowledge. They reject things. I've watched all the year. I've been around in the ministry long enough. I've seen hundreds of well-meaning Christians where things don't work out for them. Never, they end up at the bottom of stuff. And most of the time is what it is they are not sincere enough about the Word. It's not doing some daily reading. I'm going to tell you, if you don't spend time in meditation, your daily reading ain't going to do much for you. I'm just telling you that. It ain't going to do. It's about meditating. We need to understand this, gaining knowledge. Now, talked about last week, we become an informational society. We get information at a touch. You know, and we get this information, but number one, it doesn't really become the knowledge of the people. You know, we don't try to make it part of us of whatever it is that we want or what we want to do. You know, it don't matter how much information's out here, how much I can get and I can listen to, it may not change my life. In fact, it may ruin your life. We have a nation that's in a mess because people are listening to everything and doing nothing.
Amen. Preach.
They listen to everything and do nothing.
Amen.
Your success is in your doing with what knowledge you have. That's your success. You have to decide the direction of your life. I'll just say it here by the Spirit of God. There's some of the problems you have is because you don't have any direction in your life. You don't really set a direction. You don't set a direction on anything you really want to learn or you really want to know about God. You're just sort of a haphazard. I like this. I like that. God, it's not a candy store, folks. It's not a place you walk into. I found this out. You know, you've got to put sincere time into things to get good at it. You know, when I wanted to learn about finances and about money, I had to get sincere about it. And I had to get my wallet out. You know, the Lord spoke to me about this week. And He said about just in the areas of prosperity, this is good knowledge for you. You should live better than the people you work around. If you're working in a place and they're making about, you make the same wage as other people and that stuff, you should be living a better life than they are.
Amen.
If you're not, you're not prospering. All you got is man's pride. If they can do it without God, you should be living a higher life.
Amen.
This is good preaching.
Yeah.
God spoke to me about this week. He said, Christians haven't prospered. He said, they're just happy where they're at. They're happy where they are. See, I've learned this. Why would the world want what I got when they got what I got? See, we should be living at a higher standard. We should have better from the one. You know, we should be the ones who have money. I should be able to give like crazy and still live a better life than them.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Well, yeah. We need to get in our thoughts and in our thinking. What on earth do we want to do? Let's get out of here this Christian game and get back over to the knowledge of God. Because God will expand the way you think. You'll see yourself. God will always want you to reach to something further. If you're happy where you are, He'll leave you there. And he don't like you or anything, He'll just leave you there. Because that's the place you choose. He don't push you. He don't take you beyond where you want to go. See, many people say, yeah, man, I really want to prosper. Well, are you going to work at it? Are you going to take the knowledge of God and start doing it? Or you say, yeah, I have the knowledge of God, but I really don't want to do that. That's what I don't want. I want to do something else. I want to, you know, I want to be slack. No, I decided a long time ago I wanted to go to something further.
Amen.
I wanted to go to something higher. You know, it's just like me. I mean, I set goals on giving. To me, you know, most people set their goals on receiving. I went to the higher. See, I believe it's more blessed to give than receive. So I took the higher spot. See, most people are tied to the getting side. That's the average person who's in the so-called prosperity stuff. They're on the side of receiving, of getting something. That's the low side. That's the low side. That's the low side. See, when I understood, the scripture would have never said this. This is the knowledge of God. It's more blessed to give than receive. Why would he say that if something wasn't going to turn out better? I was just a dummy and thought that's true. And I decided that's the knowledge I'm going to set myself to. I'm going to set myself, you know, and that's what Wanda, we've been in agreement. We've set ourselves to that side. See, I wanted to be like when the Lord spoke to me in 2014 and said to me, he was, you know, he said, I want you to have a lot of money because he said, I can trust you with money.
Amen.
He said, I can trust you with it. He said, he wants me to have. Well, does God really want you to have a lot of money? You might say, well, he does. Maybe he doesn't. There's people he don't. He can't trust him with it. There's people, they get, I'm going to tell you what, the average spirit-filled Christian, if you gave him a lot of money, you'd hardly see him at church. they'd be vacationing all the time. And, I ain't going very good. Hey, I like good vacations. I like doing, I enjoy that stuff. But you know what? I enjoy following the will of God more than I do vacations. And see, that's where you want to walk. See, you got to find out. You can have that other stuff. God will give you that other stuff. But how, you know, I'm shooting for more than what's in this life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Shooting for something. But you know what? We need to understand the fact of our need for knowledge. We found that grace and peace are multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. And so, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, number one, you need to get this right. You need to gain in knowledge and in the application of knowledge if you really want to walk in grace and peace. It doesn't come by praying and asking for it. I don't care how much you know God's given grace. I ain't going to do anything for you till you gain knowledge of it. Knowledge of what to do with to respond to. How do I respond to grace? A lot of Christians don't know how to. See, it's just like grace, like healing. Most Christians don't know how to respond to it by faith. You know, I've really, you know, people in the ministry I love very, very much and that stuff. And the person died, but one of the things and his wife said to this, said, you know, he really thought he was going to be healed, and I didn't say anything because, you know, you get, it just, it don't matter, it's gone, it's over the dam, you know, he's gone. He was healed. See, he was believing he was going to get it. He wasn't believing right. Spirit-filled minister. I mean, I love them dearly, wonderful people. But he always thought he was going to be healed. Why? He wasn't walking in the knowledge of God. He wasn't walking in the knowledge, therefore he could not apply. He could not apply the knowledge needed. He couldn't apply it to get where he needed to go. He's wanting God to do something, and see, he never received his healing. He was trying to get it. He was trying to get it. See, I often wonder why, how I picked that up. Number one is I listened to Brother Hagin's teaching all the time. I didn't listen to everybody else all the time. And so I listened about, and he would always teach, and I listened on his faith stuff about how faith works. I wanted to know how faith works. Because I found out that even most spirit-filled people call themselves faith people really don't know how faith works. There's a lot, they stumble around through all kinds of easy stuff. They don't know actually, you know, yes, somebody, hey, what is faith? Well, that's trust. Now you gave me a synonym, not even a definition. They'll just give you 27, you know, different words. Say no, and they say to him, how do you do it? They ain't got a clue. I've done that to spirit-filled people and ministers, and they don't know how to, they don't know what to do with it. Well, how do you do it? Faith. I learned this because I started with Kenneth Hagin, and he made mention in one of his tape about a guy named Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith Wigglesworth, he said, Smith Wigglesworth said this, faith is an act. So in other words, faith is something you do. And when I heard that, I said, I got to read after this guy. I got to find out. I got to find out about this guy. Because I thought, Brother Hagin's agreeing with him. So he knows. And this guy, so I want to find faith. I'm going to tell you what. I tell you what. You can see Ed's faith. Amen. It ain't just some talk. It ain't some wind. I'll tell you right in the middle of the storm, unashamedly, I ain't going under. I don't sit around, well, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm just believing God. No, I ain't going under. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about that today because we want to look at these things. I want you to go over. We're going to go to the 91st Psalm. The 91st Psalm. We're going to talk about the knowledge of God here. This is the knowledge of God to you. This is God's knowledge. I want you to understand this. The Lord had me come over to this to talk about this today. The 91st Psalm is a psalm fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was a blessing to Israel. This was one of the psalms in, I think it was Israel's fourth song book. See, the psalm was broken up in like, I don't know, with four or five books or something like that. But anyhow, the fourth song book, the 91st Psalm was in. Now, Israel and them, they would sing this, but Israel never knew this in this fulfillment because this psalm is to really, the fulfillment of it is redeemed from the curse of the law. The person who walks in this is redeemed from the curse of the law. This psalm's for the church. It's fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you because we read this psalm and people, you know, over the years I've watched and listened to people read it. They read this psalm, wow, this man's a great psalm and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, if that psalm cannot work in my life, you might as well tear it out of the pages, out of the book, and throw it away. This is not something nice said to you. This is the knowledge of God, and if it's applied, you can have all that this psalm says. If it doesn't work, it's because it has not, either you don't have the knowledge of it, or you haven't applied the knowledge of it. So we need to get this thing. Why? See, are we forgetting knowledge? Many times people read it, but they just, you know, forget it and walk off. And then they talk about, well, you know, did you hear, you know, this is going around. Well, this person has this and this person has that. I'll never forget with the flu thing. I was a young Christian listening to one of Brother Hagin's teachings on faith. And this is the thing that really changed me, that got me, that I realized that faith is bold. If you are bold, you don't have faith. Faith requires boldness. Because faith is going to require you to talk what God said, and I'll guarantee you, most of the time you're going to be talking the opposite direction to everybody else. If you're not bold, you're going to have trouble. Boldness is required. People don't have boldness because they're afraid of persecution. Amen. Say, people don't understand me. People don't understand what I teach. I still teach it anyhow. I can prove it. People have sat and listened to my teaching for years, didn't get a bit of it. I didn't quit teaching. I don't care. They didn't make it. They didn't. That's problem. That's not my problem. I'm going to keep preaching the truth because I tell you this, it works for me. I know it. I've applied it and it works. And the word, and if I miss it, I don't say, well, I wonder, I guess that ain't for us. I stop and say, Ed, what do you need to know that you don't know? What knowledge haven't you grasped yet about this? Because God's word is true. In the 91st Psalm, it says this, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I want you to understand this. If you're not dwelling in the secret place, you will not be abiding in the shelter of the Almighty, so the rest of this won't work for you. See, most people are disqualified for this. It's being in, the fulfillment is in this. You're going to have to be in the secret place to be overshadowed. So understand, we need to understand this. To Israel, they talk here the secret place. Well, what is the secret place? Most people have opinions. You see, we need to understand, we as born again, we're in Christ. We're in Him. See, Israel didn't know. Israel followed the law, and if you did everything right, you could get out of the curse. Man, I'm going to tell you, that's got to be a hard life to try to live. Well, we know this. You can't live it because Israel could never live it. They could never do it. You and I, the born-again Christian, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We're in Christ Jesus. God is in us. Hallelujah. Now, I can just say this to you. As a Christian is number one. The success of this is living out of your inner man. That's the success. The success is in the fact that God is in you. You live out of the inner man. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. This is the secret place to the world. It isn't secret because nobody knows about it, but it's a secret from this. If you can't live out of your spirit, you can't hear from God. You can play around in the book all you want. You can do all those things. If as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons, then you are required. I was so glad when the Lord said to me, February of 1980, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. That was my first goal, was to learn to listen to my inner man. I listen to the inside. Why? God isn't living in your head. I want you to know that. Because if He was, you'd be a lot smarter than you are. But I'm going to tell you what, on the inside, if we yield to it, we're geniuses. Why? Because the mind of God lives in you. It's not something we're trying to get. It is already a living being in you. He's called the Holy Spirit. And He has the mind of God, and that mind is in you.
Amen.
So whatever I need to know or understand, I have the Holy Spirit that I can do. You know, in a sense, He's almost like a computer. You know, you go over on Google and you type something in and you want it to come up. The reason most people, nothing ever comes up because they never type nothing in. Well, if God wants to show me, I'll just read around in the book a little bit and this and that. If you aren't one that goes and say, hey, I want to understand. I want to know this.
Yes.
If you don't do that, don't be surprised. You know, you don't get very far that you know, all your new revelation comes from somebody else. You never get none yourself. See, most people never get a new revelation. They always have to hear it from somebody else. Why? They never live out their inner man. This ain't for the geniuses. This is for anybody in any place in Christianity, any believer. God will reveal things to if they'll turn around and learn to yield to the Holy Spirit in them.
Amen.
They get knowledge and understanding. They can have it. Now, we need to get a hold of this. So this is... We need to go, this is classified, and really this is for the church. We're the temple of God. We're the place where God lives. Hallelujah. That person, and that it says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now this individual says this. He makes a statement. He goes, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my strength. My God, in Him will I trust. Now, when you read that, it says, I will say that. Well, let me ask you, will you say that? Or do you just read it? See, here's Ed's version. Ed says this. Ed, it says God is my refuge. God is my refuge and my fortress. God is Ed's refuge and Ed's fortress.
Amen.
See, knowledge of the word is for this purpose that it becomes your word. God's word must become your word, is what you said. If you don't do this, you're never going to have success with the knowledge of God. See, the children of Israel, God said to them, hey, I give you guys a land. He said, I'm going to give it to you. I give it to you. That land belongs to you. Now, I want you to go in and the spies. So they send 12 spies in. 10 come out and say, yeah, it's a great land, but we can't go there. God said, I give it to you. See, they didn't come out. Now, how did Joshua and Caleb, how did these guys get where they are? Why? They didn't walk around talking what the other people said about the land. They went to the same land. They didn't come out and say, well, we saw this or we saw this. Joshua stands up, we can take them. Why? It's our land.
Amen.
See, Joshua claimed the land. The reason you haven't had what you want, you've never claimed it. It's always been you trying to get it from God instead of saying, hey, it's mine. That's mine. You can't get saved because you believe something. You couldn't even get saved because you believe Jesus was Lord. God raised Him from the dead. You couldn't get saved. You had to do something. You had to make a commitment. You had to confess Him as your Lord. You had to believe God. You had to say that. With the mouth, confession was made unto salvation. It does not say believing in your heart made salvation.
Amen.
The church believes that. That's the stuff the church believes. The church doesn't apply the knowledge of God. They're not applying the knowledge. They're talking about the knowledge, but they're not applying it to themselves. You know, the majority of the church world said, oh God, that was what God said to Israel. And you know what? They can never have the blessing of it. They can't have it. It's impossible. When the plague comes, they'll have it. They'll have it. Why? That's not for us. See, you got to claim it. You don't claim it because you believe it. You got to say it.
Amen.
If you're not saying it, your believing is in vain. And after a while, this is what happened. If you ain't saying it, you will forget the knowledge of God. The way you remember is by saying. And you don't say it one time. You say it often. You see, Kenneth Hagin, I remember Kenneth Hagin doing this. He was teaching years back. In fact, I think it was in the 50s when here in the United States, they had at that time, the Asian flu or something it was called at that time came. It was called the Asian flu. It's a big flu epidemic went through the United States. A lot of people were sick. And he was at a church in California. And he's at this church and he was teaching. He had taught like a couple weeks there. What he would do is he'd do night services, and then during the week, during all the days of the week, he'd do morning, he'd teach on healing. And then at night they would have what they would call more of a Holy Spirit type meeting, have whatever spirit wanted to do at the time in those meetings. They would do this. He's doing this, and all of a sudden through the area of Los Angeles, all this flu hits. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, we were there like, we had like 50 people when we had a big, you know, place full. He said he only got 50 people were there that night. And he said in our morning teaching sessions, he said there was a few ministers there and his wife and another lady and stuff and things. That's all they had in the morning teaching session. And they were saying about everybody having all the flu. And he said, I went in there for the teaching that morning. And he said, you know, I just do a lesson and teach it. He said, no matter how many people are there, I want to teach on it. And he said, these ministers, all they do is talking about this flu. That's what's going on. But you'll find that in the general congregation too. All they're talking about, you know, I watched the Christians and listened to the Christians over this past, you know, thing coming up to this election, and all they did was talk about all the junk going on and all the stuff going on, saying they're praying for our nation. It's like, just go to the bar and have a drink. You're better off. You might think, oh, that sounds bad. No, it isn't. We'd be better off keeping our mouths shut in this thing than sitting around talking this stuff. Well, anyhow, one minister turns to him and says about getting the flu, and Kenneth Hagin turned around and said, now, I heard this. I'm a baby Christian, but I got it right away. He turned around and he said to this guy, he said, I will never have the Asian flu. See, I've done that thing with ministers already, and boy, they look at it like, who are you? And after they do their funeral, I mean, you see, people are afraid.
Amen.
Now, one of the ministers came up to him. He had been teaching 2 weeks on healing, God and healing. And one of the ministers walked up to him real close and said, I would never say that because the devil will hear you. And Kenneth Hagin said real loud, that's the dude I wanted to hear it. Now, I was a young Christian. When I got that, I put that into practice right away. I started this thing. See, from 1980, I never had the flu. Because I just decided. You see, I don't care what I believe about healing. My mouth is going to determine what I get. Jesus said you're going to have what you say, not have what you believe or feel. If your believing's off, and you can't talk your feeling and talk. I just decided. I'm gonna walk in this direction. I saw it. I got a glimpse of it. I saw it. I understood. He said something. He was believed in a certain direction and he put his mouth right on it. And he wouldn't let anybody else move him off of it. We've lacked that boldness. You know what? That kind of stuff went around back in the 80s, and it sure ain't out there today in so-called faith movement. A faith movement is more like a bowel movement than it is a faith movement. You know what that puts out? See, we need to come back to the faith movement. We need to come back to this place where I'm not ashamed of the gospel. See, the gospel has healing in it, and I ain't ashamed of it. Yet the church wants healing going on, and they're ashamed to talk, God will heal me. God will deliver me. He is my salvation. Hallelujah. He overshadows me. He overshadows it. See, people think, get over it. Well, he's arrogant. It is arrogance. This is truth.
Amen. Preach.
People don't know the difference between truth and arrogance. People have no idea. You talk faith, and most people, they'll think, oh, you're just being arrogant. If you don't get bold about these things, don't expect. Amen. Now, I love this because this psalm in verse 3, it changes the whole way down into 13. It changes, and it says this, surely he shall deliver you. Now he turned it. The guy says, where he's standing now, he said, surely he'll deliver you. Surely what? He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. See, to me this is, surely he will deliver Ed. He's going to deliver Ed from the snare of the fowler and for the perilous pestilence. He will deliver me. This is what he's going to do. So you've got to get these things on your... You've got to make it yours. This is mine. See, we read it in a book. Is he really... Well, people say, yeah, that is for us. Well, then put your name on it. Amen. Say it with your... Hey, this is mine. This is mine. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And if I am truly redeemed, I can confess this, and it is biblical for me. And if I don't, I'm a liar and do not the truth. Now, people might not like to hear that, but this is the truth. See, we got to sit down and say, hey, this is the truth. People wonder why things don't work and the reason they're not working. You're living in a world where the devil hates you and he's going to do everything he can to come against you. We're in this world. In the world, there's tribulation. He said, I've overcome it. Well, if he's overcoming, let's quit whining about the trouble and start doing the overcoming.
Amen.
Let's quit complaining about the trouble. Don't matter about the trouble. I don't matter how much trouble comes. I'm overcoming. Ed's overcoming. Because he's overshadowed by God.
Hallelujah.
Now, I know I am, but I don't know if you are. Now, I can't speak for you.
Amen.
You have to speak for you.
Amen.
See, don't matter how excited you get today to hear me say this, if you go home and you don't do it,
That's right.
It don't matter a bit.
Amen. Preach.
Why? Because you forgot the knowledge of God. See, the knowledge of God comes. People go to meetings to hear the knowledge of God and go home. And next Sunday, if you ask them what you preached the Sunday before, they can't tell you. I've done it and I quit doing that because it's an embarrassment to the people. I preached things ready to help people. People come to me, but I really needed that message. And next Sunday, they were talking the same junk that they did before. And I'm thinking, dear God, I really needed that. Well, if you really needed it, why didn't you do something with it? Hearing it ain't enough.
Amen.
I don't know about you, man. When I was trying to get a hold of something, when I would start to develop in an area, and I'd start talking to that area, and I'd catch myself over, getting all, hold it, Ed, hold it. Now stop it. I can't do that. I got to stop. This is the direction I have to go.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it takes work to do it.
Amen.
Don't happen overnight. It takes work at it. And you know what? Too many people are spiritually lazy.
Amen.
Oh, they'll go to work every day, but they're spiritually lazy.
Amen.
See, you might have a great work ethic naturally, but spiritually, downright lazy. I got a good spiritual work ethic. That's, but I found out that's where the success lies in this thing. That's where it lies. He said, now he's here again. He shall cover you with his feathers. Well, I just say that he covers Ed with his feathers and under his wings, Ed takes refuge. His truth or Ed's truth shall be your shield. His truth will be my shield and my buckler. Now I want you to think about that. See, faith, we go over into Ephesians, tells us the shield of faith. That's what he's talking about. See, this is by faith. You've got to make this confession yourself. This has got to become your confession. It's your faith speaking. If you're not speaking things concerning the Word of God, you are not walking by faith. The Bible tells us we walk by faith. This is an everyday life that we live. We don't only just be nice people. We should be talking in a direction that we're going. We're not talking about all the problems and the things that are going on. We should have our voice in a direction. You know, Mike and Darlene said they're going to do a testimony thing, and I heard part of it already. But their success in what's happened was because they had their voice in a direction. Yet all the other voices are going the other direction. But they succeeded because of their mouth. Most people fail because they, and a lot of times from this, they never say nothing. I'm believing God. Believe in what? Get it on your mouth. I want to hear it. And then when we hear it, this is what happens. We'll find out when we hear it if it really was faith. Or it was a nice religious saying. See, we got to come to this place where we stand up. Where we say, and this is where we get it. This thing is for us. It deals with us. See, it says, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrows that fly by day. In other words, Ed's not going to be afraid of the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noontime. I'm not going to be afraid of this stuff. I'm not going to, and you know what? By not being afraid of it, it ain't going to be the topic of my discussion. I'm going to talk about my deliverance. You know, people, oh my God, you know that flu's going around, they're doing this and that, you know. And I went to the states where they say you shouldn't have gone, you know, because if you go, you'll get the flu there. It's so bad there in that place. Oh my God. See, people run in fear of those things, and they sit and listen. The news tells you, you know, because see, they're doctors and they are God, you know. They say don't do this and don't do that. You know. Yeah. But see, they're always, you're going to have to do this and you're going to have to do that. And you're going to have to do this. And if I go to a doctor, I'm going there. I'm not going to knock him what he says. He's telling me what he knows naturally. Amen. He's telling me what he knows naturally. You know. But now if he asks me what I think about something, I'll tell him what I think. Amen. Other than that, I let him alone. I don't want to confuse him. But see, we make a stand. Listen to this. 1,000 may fall at Ed's side and 10,000 at Ed's right hand, but it won't come near Ed. See, you got to get it over. This is yours.
Amen.
This is yours. Is it? It's not nice words on a page here. These words are spoken for us to take this on. This is the knowledge of God. This is what God says. Jesus Christ Himself died and was resurrected from the dead so Ed can live in this place. And if Ed can't live in this place, it's not because I can't. It's because I won't.
Amen.
I refuse. You know, that stuff's nice and says it. But that's not for everybody. I never read the Bible and never said that's not for everybody. Everything I read, that's for Ed. Yeah, that's Ed's. That's mine. That's mine. This book's about my. About it. I'll tell you what, I think it was written for me. I think it's why God gave us the Bible, because He heard Ed was going to come one day. It belongs to me. See, the Word of God belongs to me. It was written to me. See, when I'm redeemed from the curse of law. When I read this, this is like natural. This is just naturally how it works. This is what it is.
Amen.
This is the redeemed. All kind of people. Jesus raised from the dead next Sunday. They'll go through all their things and do all their stuff. But the whole thing of it is, there's no purpose in it. He forgave us our sins. But now you're still on your own. They take communion and don't even know what it's for. They don't even take communion with, yeah. He died and He raised. He's great. We're dirt. Well, it is. Hey. We're just going to sin. He makes you sick because you're so stupid you can't learn. They take the glory out of the resurrection. He won for me. All that He won, it was for me.
Amen. Thank you.
See, it doesn't matter. It may be it's for you, but if you don't claim it, you don't have it. Amen. It doesn't matter. He's done it for all of us, every one of us. The victory is 100% ours.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm just one of these guys, I keep trying to figure out, I should have this then. Why don't I? Well, I'm going to have to study. I got to keep learning. I got to keep gaining knowledge to find out why I can't walk at the extent that all this glory is in here. The church does this. Here's the church world. And I've watched it even today. We have lowered the standard. The Lord talked to me about this, lowering the standard. Mm-hmm. Today, in the Spirit-filled, even Rhema churches, they have lowered the bar to about 50% of what they did of the days when I came into the kingdom when God was moving in Rhema. They're about 50% on their own. Everybody's following this today. The church is lowering its standard and trying to get, here's how we're going to reach people. We're going to lower the standard for them to get in. And what do you have? A dead church.
Amen.
Not lowering the standard for nobody.
Amen.
You keep it high. They have proven this in studies. If you set a standard high, even if people don't make it, they'll reach higher. But you lower it, more people come in lower yet. And this is what the church has done. They've lowered the standard. I've had Rhema leaders tell me this. Well, you know, yes, what you said is true, but people have a hard time with that. Oh, you shouldn't say it was true. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll change that right away. Poor dumb Jesus gave me a book he didn't figure out I couldn't use. Poor dumb Jesus. I was so glad that Brother Hagin set a standard that was high. I followed it. He set a standard. And I'll tell you what, I ain't reached the top of it yet. I'll tell you people, but I'll tell you what, I'm on the move up. I got a quarter of it. I'm pretty nice now. I'm feeling pretty good. I got a few nickels in my pocket and we're just doing all right down here. You know, I'm just going along, me the old pilgrim down here. You know, we're just trying to get through. Hallelujah. He offered something greater. I was so glad to hear there was something great.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. You know what? If Brother Hagin would have preached what I heard when I was a kid, I wouldn't have followed him two steps. And I tell you, there's a lot of people out here, Spirit-filled people, I wouldn't follow them two steps.
Amen.
They have such a low standard.
Amen.
The standard God has set. God offers you the moon. Why on earth do we want to stay on this planet? Why don't we get on one of the rockets and get off?
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what, 20 feet off the ground is plenty for me. Say, no, let's go, let's take it all.
Amen.
You know, I'm not ashamed to stop and say, yeah, there's things that are still over my head.
Amen.
But I'm shooting for it. Don't offer me something less. You know, when I found out this healing thing worked, I got excited. I loved it. Because I'm going to tell you what, I hate sickness. Most Christians, and even Spirit-filled Christians, don't mind sickness. They don't mind putting up with it. Me, I just think it's ugly. I don't like to suffer.
Amen.
I don't enjoy suffering. I love well. I like it. I like well. I like being able to get out of bed in the morning without a walker.
Amen.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
The thing I just downright like.
Amen.
You know, just, but people are satisfied with something less. It's because we offered them less. This is glory. This is yours. This is God saying, this is what I've given. This is yours, man.
Amen.
This is your baby here.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Look what he says. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge and even my Most High, your dwelling place. Because you did this. Is He your dwelling place? See, He's your dwelling place. Now, He's a place. Now, we need to understand this in this dwelling place. Because He said, because you make Him your dwelling place. See, this is a place we live. We see Jesus, we go over to John 15. What Jesus said there, John 15, said this. And we're dealing with the knowledge. This knowledge. You're not dwelling in Him if you're not dwelling in the knowledge. You're not dwelling in. What did Jesus say? John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words, or we could say his knowledge, abides in you, what is it? Then you ask whatever you will, you desire, it'll be done for you. You know, he didn't ask you, you get God's word in you, and whatever you desire, you can have. He didn't say whatever God desires, you can have. See, I'm going to tell you, God desires you have all the goodness of this, but what's your desire? You may not want it all. Most Christians don't want it all.
Amen.
They don't want it. How far do you want to go in this? He says, because you've made the Lord, who is your refuge, even your most high, your dwelling place, he said, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling.
Amen.
So no evil is going to befall Ed.
Amen.
No plague is going to come near my dwelling. Listen to what it says. For he shall give his angels charge over Ed to keep him in all his ways. Now I want you to see this. What is the New Testament angels in charge? Angels are ministering spirits for the heirs of prophecy. He's going to give his... Okay, angels, you go work for the saints down there. And you do what they tell you to do.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. See, redeemed from the curse of the law, man. Heaven and earth are tied together through His Word. The saint who follows His Word. The saint who follows His Word. Look, in their hands, they shall bear you up. This is what these angels are going to do. Lest you dash your foot against a stone. He said, those angels are going to do this. See, that's when Kenneth Hagin, when the Lord told him about finances and told him, don't pray about finances anymore like you have. Don't pray for them. He said, you claim what you want and need, and then you tell your angels, go out and get them, bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he told them to do. Why? Because that's this. What are those angels doing? They're going to bear you up. Hallelujah. You know, there's all kind of Christians fall all the time, and the reason they don't get up, they never put the angels to ever get them up. They don't ever got the angels to quit them from falling. They don't know. They're waiting around for God to do something. And what God has given, the knowledge God has given, they don't walk in.
Amen.
Therefore, they cannot have the benefit of it.
Amen. Preach.
People want angels to do things for them. You know, I'm praying for the angels to go with me. Knock that stuff off. Tell them to go before you. Tell them to make your way safe. Quit doing that praying junk. Quit being religious. They'd be just happy if somebody tell them what to do.
Amen.
They sit around and say, what's wrong with these people? Don't they read their Bibles? Yeah, but they forget the knowledge of it. They live in a place. Let's live in the knowledge of this. Hallelujah. It isn't you thinking you're something great. God set up the system. That's the way it works. Why not work it? The angels work. Hey, angels, you know, we're doing this. I just want to thank you take care of me. I'm just so glad you guys are looking after me.
Amen.
I have angels around me, and they just want me to, yeah, come along. I'm going over here, so I know you're going with me over here, because this is where I'm going.
Amen.
So if you want to go someplace else, I'm going to tell Dad, what are you doing? You'd be in trouble. Glory to God. Now it says, what caused it? You shall tread upon lions and the lion and on the cobra. In other words, Ed's going to tread on the lion and the cobra. He's dealing with demonic powers here, is what it's talking about. This is, we do that. This is the church. We do this. God don't. We do.
Amen.
You cast out devils.
Yeah.
You walk in your authority. It says, we trample them underfoot. Now, what you can trample underfoot, do you get worried about? Oh, what the devil's? Oh, the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that. Well, excuse me, I'm going to go over and step on him. I'm going to go over here and tread on him for a while. I'm going to go over here and remind him who's in charge. You see, when trouble comes knocking on the door, this is the way you got to act.
Amen.
If you don't, no, let's go have intercessory prayer. Let's call the prayer team about this. Stand up. You can stand. The redeemed can stand. You don't have to get somebody to do this for you. This is you. This is yours. Now, I like these next three verses because now God's going to have His say. Now, here God's going to say what He's going to do, and I like this. See, now understand this. If you ain't the guy walking in that middle part, just forget the rest of it. It ain't for you. What does He say? Because He has set His love upon me. Read in the New Testament what it says about loving God. Jesus said, you love me if you keep my words.
Amen.
Many people, they sing songs of loving Jesus, but they don't keep His word.
Preach.
They forget the knowledge of His word. Mm-hmm. They go out to talk other things. See, this is what you talk. Your voice is such a powerful thing.
Amen.
Your voice. People want power. If you don't release your voice, forget about the power thing. It's not... It's your voice.
Amen.
Your voice releases. Your what you believe of God's Word, what you get knowledge of God in you and you believe it and you release it with your voice, there's nothing more powerful can take place in this earth.
Amen.
Because God can't do nothing till man releases. Man releases. God says, look, I want to do my will in this earth, you know, have down here like it is in heaven. This is what I want. Well, He said to the disciples, pray that God's will be done. Well, if you pray, then act in faith like it's working. Praise God's will getting done down here. No, we're just going to pray again because it looks bad out here. So we're just going to pray again like it ain't happened. Come on, God, do something. Come on, God, do something. And He's up there. If I can only get you to shut up, I could do something. No, I thank God. I can always go to God and say this. No matter what's going on, God, I know that You want Your will that's in heaven. You want it done down here for me. Down. I know that. See, that's why I don't care what kind of trouble is. I can approach Him. I know He's on my side. I know I know He wants to do something. I'm not a beggar before Him. He's already declared He wants to deliver me. He wants me to have all of His salvation.
Amen.
So I'm not pleading with a God who's trying to hold back from it. God, show me what I need to do.
Amen.
Show me what I need to walk. The Bible says You're my deliverer. I have no clue how You're going to do it, but You're going to do it. I have no clue. Lord, it might look like I deserve what's going on, but I want to thank You. You're my deliverer.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, He set His love on Him. This is what He does. We set our love on Him. Loving Him is doing His will and doing His word. We show Him we love Him.
Mm-hmm.
When we do this, what He said, I will deliver Him. You do His word, He will deliver you.
Amen.
This is God speaking. Understand, David was a prophet. This is God's voice saying this. If this isn't true, if this isn't right, then God lied. And David was a false prophet. So you have no place to stand on the 23rd Psalm or any of those. Sorry. Hallelujah. I'm taking them.
Amen.
They belong to Ed. This is what he said. I will set you on high. I will set him on high. I will set Ed on high because he has known my name. You know, that is for the church to know the name. See, if we take this and we know his name. Do you use the name of Jesus? Do you use it?
Amen.
Most Christians don't use the name. Using that name. This is number one. The only guarantee I have in the Bible that my prayer would be answered if I pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's under the authority of that name. And see that authority of name. How powerful is that name on my voice? How powerful is that name on your voice? The power of His name on your voice. See, that's why we worship. That's one thing I said, like Hillsong's earlier stuff. They use Jesus a lot. They sing about Jesus. I like singing about Jesus. A lot of the worship stuff, you could give it to the Hindus to sing. And because it gets home of God. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus is the head of the church and we worship. You glorify Jesus and Daddy gets happy.
Amen.
Daddy gets happy.
Yes, sir.
You know, up in heaven, they were out there and the elders, you know, they were doing their worship. And who comes on the worship thing? The Lamb. Oh, I'm sure Daddy got real jealous about that. Of them worshiping the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb! Hallelujah! When you glorify Jesus, You couldn't make Daddy happier.
Amen.
I learned that a long time ago. The Holy Spirit taught me personally on that. Mm-hmm. What is going on in the, whether it's the spiritual universe or this natural universe we're in, heaven is focused on the work of Jesus. That's what heaven is focused on.
Amen.
Your Father in heaven, that's what He's focused on, the work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if the Father sets His face in that direction, then I need to set my face in that direction.
Amen.
So it says, He shall call on me. In other words, Ed shall call on me and I will answer him. I will be with Ed in trouble. I will deliver Ed and honor him. This is God talking. Make it yours. This is what God is saying to me. What's God saying to you? So you can listen to me and say, but wasn't I need it what Ed did? Well, make it yours.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God will deliver me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God will. God don't deliver me because I do everything perfect. You know what I'm saying? God does everything He does for me because of Jesus.
Amen.
Most people, they never identify themselves with Jesus. They're always looking at themselves all the time. I'm going to tell you what, I got a mirror and it's got Jesus in that thing. And when I look in there and say, man, I'm glad I see His reflection. I've seen mine before. And I'm tired of looking at yours. So I just... Let's get ourselves over. Look in the mirror. God does it because we're in Him. We're in His victory. We're in what He did. Let's get ourselves looking in that direction. Hallelujah. And what is this? I'll satisfy Ed with long life. And I'll show him my salvation. I'll satisfy. So in other words, you can determine. You can have that. You determine how long you want to go, long, short, whatever you want to do. He'll satisfy you. What are you satisfied with? See, people say around, you know, well, God took this person for a purpose and God did it. No, you determine how you're coming and going. You determine that. See, God's in control of everything. That really upsets people, you know, because He's in control of everything, you know. See, you have your time to die. Well, I'm sure the devil will pick it out for you and kill you. And probably you'll go in agony. Oh yeah, that's good. I tell you what. Yeah. Devil's gonna pick a time. See, I've sat with people that were ill and I've sat with people just like my dad. My dad was clinging on this side. I could tell him how to go. I talked with my dad and told him it's time to leave Dad. You go ahead and release him. God didn't take him. He left.
Amen.
Because I told him what to do and he did it and in 20 minutes he's gone. See, I'm going to tell you what. You die by faith.
Amen.
You don't die by death, by sickness and disease.
Nope.
That's not what we're supposed to do.
No.
Nowhere in the Bible. If sickness and disease is how you're supposed to die, then God's in on the sickness and disease thing. You know, it's like, I learned when I was a young Christian about this. An older woman, she's in her 80s, was dying of stomach cancer. Wonderful Christian lady. She was going to go over and, she was in a battle and fighting. And kind of thinking, asked her why she didn't get healed. Because she had gotten into the spirit-filled people things because she'd gotten healed and delivered of something pretty severe. And for years has been walking, you know. In fact, she did preaching and stuff. And, he told her, they called her Ma, and he said, Ma, he said, why don't you believe God? He said, and live, and he said, get healed, and if you want to die, then go ahead and die. But he said, don't go like this. Why? Because God don't get no glory in it. Nobody in the hospital thinks it's a wonderful thing, God, while they watch a person suffer. Nobody. If you think this is God's way of working, you're a sickie. I ain't gonna try to be kind about it. That's sick. Ain't nothing worse than, I've sat and had to watch people, you watch people work, and it's horrible. It's a horrible, terrible thing. Watch people suffer. And they got to the point now, they shoot them up with so much stuff that after a while, you know, they're just the vegetable laying on the bed. They don't know whether they're coming or going. They're just out of it completely. And say, this is death for the Christian. Is this, what testimony? You know, just like a test, God, I learned, as a young Christian, this goes back to about, let's see, it used to be about 1982, I think it is, with my uncle. I have an Uncle Homer. I've talked about this before. But I want you to see it is why God in his view concerning death. My Uncle Homer was a Christian. He's never really though that he was up and down in his Christian walk. Which one thing is, as he got older, he got into the thing where he was, he wondered if God would take him off to heaven or not. He get over into that thing and he wasn't sure. He wasn't confident about his salvation. And anyhow, what had happened, he had ended up with, emphysema, and it was so, he had emphysema so bad that he was bedridden. He couldn't get out, couldn't walk through nothing. It was really bad shape. And so, we went down to Virginia where he's at, and he was living with his one son and his wife. That's where they had him, and he had him in a bed in the house and that stuff, and he was in there. And, he was in, he couldn't hardly talk well or do anything, he was there in the bed. And I was just in there, and it just really got to me. I'm a young Christian. This just really got to me, and I just, with him and my uncle. And I'll never forget this. I can tell you, I was in the car, and I can still do this. We were sitting down to pull out. We were up above at the house where they used to live in, and we were sitting there, and I looked down at the house where he was with his son, and he living down there, and I looked down there, and when I looked down there, I said to the Lord, this shouldn't be going on like this. Now look, I'm just a young Christian. I'm just learning stuff. But you know, my heart, I said, Lord, this shouldn't be happening. He's a Christian. I said, inside, I knew Homer was going to heaven. But see, this is what I wanted him to know. I wanted him to know. The Lord told me, I've done this over the years. He tells me, like sometimes the people get them ready to die. Because some people are in a position, they ain't going to get healed. But you get them ready to go off. So they go off knowing and they're sound and they know what's going on. And you want to get people. You do that. God always wants to do the best he can for anybody.
Amen.
And it ain't the hospitals and the doctors, because they want to inject you and get you so full of stuff you don't know if you're coming or going. Or where you're coming or going. They've gotten away from this stuff. They're giving people shots and things when they ain't even in pain. Well, maybe they are. Yeah, I'm serious. My doctors tell me that. Yeah, I'm a pastor. I've sat in the ICUs. I watch the things sometimes they do, and I think, dear God, I think they do it for their comfort. Well, maybe the person's in pain. Maybe. Well, do you get medication? Maybe you need heart medication. I don't know, but here, take this. But anyhow, I just said, Lord, I don't want him leaving this earth like this. I said, I don't want this. I said, I want him to know when he leaves this place, he knows for sure where he's going. I want him to know. I said, I don't want this going on like this. And I knew the fact. I had enough knowledge that I had listened to Brother Hagin's teaching well enough and read the Bible enough for myself that the place that he was at for getting healed, it wasn't going to be happening, and the people he was around, they were nominal Christian people that didn't believe in, they believed more of the law than they did of grace. And I knew this thing ain't going to really work out well, but I wanted him. I just made my case before God. I said, he shouldn't be leaving like this. I want him. And that's what I said to the Lord. This is what I required. I said, Lord, I want him to have a testimony. You see, Christians should leave with a testimony, not with a whine of pain. They should leave with a testimony. That is the natural way to go, is to leave a testimony for people of your faith. But see, people aren't taught that. They don't teach it in the church. So people have no expectation of it ever happening. They just take whatever the doctor gives them. The doctor decides how we go. Well, it ain't the way to do it. But anyhow, I said, I want him to have a good testimony to everybody. He knows where he's going. Now, I expected God to do something, but I didn't expect it as spectacular as it turned out. But it turned out that I prayed that, and a couple of days later, he got caught up to heaven. He's still alive on here. He gets caught up to heaven. And they talked about it. What happened was they thought he had died, and then they thought, well, he was still doing some breathing stuff. They thought, well, maybe he went into a coma. They didn't know, but he was gone for a while. They said he just, wasn't anything happening there. Well, the whole time, see, he went off to heaven, and his body down here is just sort of, in a dormant stage down here. But he went off to heaven. And then he came back, and my cousin's wife said this. She said, I was sitting by the bed, and she said, all of a sudden, he opened his eyes, and he looked at her, and he said, I beat you there. She said, what? She said, I beat you there. And they called him Daddy. That's what they called him. I said, Daddy, Granddaddy, what you talking about? He said, I beat you there. She said, well, where? He said, heaven. He said, oh, I was up there. He said, you ought to see the castles up there. And then he started talking about people he saw. He saw his mom, and he talked about a couple of his brothers that he saw there and stuff, and he talked about these things, and he did this. And they said, now here's a guy, he's in this terrible shape. They said he laid all night in his bed. They said from that night till the next morning, he had his hands in the air praising God and never stopped all night. There's testimony time. God knows how to do a testimony, don't he? But you know what? Somebody ask. Yeah. If you didn't ask nothing, don't expect nothing. People don't ask. We let others tell us how it's going to end and what it's going to do. And he was all excited. He got over. Well, he's going to die. Anyhow, they took him into the hospital at this. And they said, when he went to the hospital, they said, you couldn't shut him up. He told everybody about heaven. He is telling everybody about heaven, where he's going. He's leaving, and this is where he's going. He's telling all the doctors and nurses and, you know, anybody that's around. You know, don't walk past his bed. You might. They said he never shut up till he left. He's going to heaven. He's excited. Well, to me, that was the most wonderful thing. He lived all those years, but what a blast off God gave him. It isn't because Ed's great faith. I'm just glad I listened to the right people who gave knowledge and said I could ask things. I'm just so glad of that. Because these kinds of knowledge isn't taught today in the church. This stuff isn't going on. We're just taking whatever comes to us and then trying to believe God will be all right and things will work out. No. We need the supernatural just like that. That's supernatural. That was. And you know what? This is among these people. See, they were people who didn't believe on the supernatural. Now they're stuck with it. It happened in their house. And their pastor, he don't believe in this stuff. And see, he had told me before, but the next time I meet him, it's like, well, things are a little different. I just... See, before that, I'm the weirdo, you know? But see, we have accepted being the weirdo because we don't want anything to happen. No, we're just seeing what God's going to do. He'll work this thing out. The ball's been in our court all the time. Amen. God's saying, I put the power of heaven into your hands. This will help you understand a little bit better why what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose down here. See, God gives us His knowledge so we can bind and loose things. We can set things go or bind things up. He gave it to us. It's taking a hold of the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I look at myself and I think, well, I've touched into things, but I think, man, there's so much more to be touched into. And this last day and time, we're asking too little. We're expecting too little. That's what the problem is. We're expecting too little. But you know what? Till you decide you want to make a change, it ain't changing. It will not change because God wants it to change. God blessed this nation and changed this whole system. But understand this. This natural system operating this earth, it ain't God. If we're happy with just this, no, I'm going to tell you what. I want signs, wonders, and miracles. I want the glory revealed. And it ain't coming through Trump. He don't have the wand. Thank God for his part that God uses him in. But we need to understand, but it is not going to change because God wants it changed. It'll change if we will respond to it. We will take the knowledge given us and start walking in it. Now, this is not Christian. It's just what it is. I don't blame people because you know what happened? There's just too much watered down stuff. Nobody has an expectation of greatness, you know? They have an expectation, well, I'm just going to have a lot of money. No, I want a lot of glory revealed. See, I want people who are leaving this earth to go off with a testimony. I want people to have something to say, you know? There's people, you know, I always think about, you know, John G. Lake. John G. Lake, he went blind one time. This is getting later on in his ministry. He went blind. Couldn't see. Now here's a guy, you know, and all these miracles and stuff. One day he's sitting in his office and I read this thing after his secretary. His secretary said, well, this was enough. He said, I'm going out for a walk. I'll be back. And he went out, walked. She said he was gone for about an hour and came back seeing. You know, we don't realize these things. Kenneth Hagin, this was back before he died. His wife was in the hospital dying. The doctor said that they couldn't do nothing for her. She's in the hospital dying. People were in there. Randy Greer talked about it. He said, because he was there. He said he was there at the hospital. He said, Mom Hagin was in there, and the doctors, they've done what they could. He's going to die. He said, Brother Hagin said to everybody else, I want you all to go out, say something. He said, I want to be with my wife. And they said, they went out, said Brother Hagin was in the room for about 20 minutes. He came out, they went in, his wife's completely well, lay on the bed, talked to everybody. Well, why don't we have that? Well, Kenneth Hagin wasn't special. We don't have that because we don't even try to go there. We don't try to find out how to go there. We don't try to have... You know, I've done this already concerning healing. I've stopped and said, Lord, okay, I've had this... This ain't going off no more. Now, either we're in this thing or we ain't. See, I'm not one of these wimpy talkers to God. You know, people like, you know... All this... They're wimpy to people, and then they're wimpy around God, and it don't produce nothing. And I just told God, this thing comes to an end now. This is done. We ain't going on and on with this stuff anymore. I've done the array of problems concerning things the family say, this is it. You said whatever I bind on earth be bound in heaven. So this stops now. This ain't going no further. Amen. This is it. Your word's either true or you're a liar, so we're going to prove you out here. Amen. What is the Lord saying? We go over and we read Malachi all the time, and he said, prove me. Do you think it was just in money? Stand up. Say, no. This is going too far. No, we're not going to go. No, this isn't going to happen anymore. This is not the way it's going to be. But see, God will respond to you. See, we read the end of that. Whatever Ed asks him, I'll give it to him. Yep, that's Ed down there. Whatever he wants. Is that true or not? Well, see, I have to decide it. I can't run around and read scriptures off like that and then just go off walking on my merry old way like everything's just... No, it's not the same anymore. It's not the same anymore. See, we got to come to this. Christianity can't be the same anymore. We're trying to arrive up to a level up here when the church hasn't even arrived back to the level they used to be. If you can't arrive to that level, you ain't going to the next one. See, when we come back and admit, say, hey, we ain't walking where we're in. Lord, I got to go further. Something wrong with Ed. You know, let's fix Ed. Amen. You know, let's fix him, Lord. I want to arrive to someplace. What do I need to do to get there?
Amen.
We're always trying to get somebody else to go there, and we never do. No, I need to go there.
Amen.
Ed, I need to go to that place. But you know what? You won't go to that place without confessing the place you want to go to.
Amen.
You don't confess where you're at. You confess where you want to go.
That's right.
I get out here to travel to go somewhere. I don't confess where I'm at. I said, we're going over yonder. We're going to go here on vacation. I don't confess. I'm going to go to my house. I'm going to go to my house. This is my house.
That's right. Yeah.
I end up going where I want to go because I confess this is where I'm going, and that's why I make plans to go there.
Yeah.
See, I always get these people over the years, and I said, you know, we want to go. We're going to go do this and this, and we're believing God for money. And all they do is confess. When the money comes in, then we'll confess we're going.
Yeah.
And I just say, forget it. The money won't come. No, I always tell people where I'm going, and you know what? The money will come so I can go there. Because that's where I'm going. It does it in the realm of the Spirit and all things. How far do you want to go? You know, we start confessing. Am I redeemed from the curse of the law? Well, let's talk about what a person looks like who's redeemed from the curse of the law. That's you. That's your mirror. 91st Psalm is the Christian mirror to look into. That's you.
Amen.
If you don't put your name on it, often, in all kind of places, you're going to have trouble. It'll always be for somebody else. Don't allow that to happen to you.
Amen.
Confess, this is me. This is God talking to me. I'm the guy redeemed.
Amen.
See, I can't declare your redemption. I want you to live in it, but you're going to have to declare yours. All I can do is give you knowledge of it. That's my job. My job is give you knowledge of it.
Amen.
And act on it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. You see, you can get on the donkey today and ride in victory to town if you want to. I'm just telling you. You can do it. You don't need a crowd. You got Jesus. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. He's the gate of the city. And you get on the donkey, hallelujah, because you're in Him. You're kings and lords.
Amen.
You're priests of God.
Amen.
You're the redeemed from the curse of the law. Let's start talking what we are.
Yes.
Let's get it on our voices. Let's begin to say with our voices who and what we are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whatever Jesus does, the church is with Him. When Jesus comes back, the chains go off, when He comes back to the earth, who comes with Him? His saints.
Amen.
We come back with Him. Why? Him and the church are one.
Amen.
We're one. He's not doing anything in this earth without the church. He does nothing without the church. People keep magnifying Israel. Magnify the church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's not the Israel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He has a redemption for Israel. But I'm going to tell you what. The church is His baby. It's His girl. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
See, my wife's my girl. Don't mess with her.
Amen.
You see, you got to go over and think. How do you think about stuff? When people think about God, them, there's a separation between them and Jesus, you know. They don't say, no, I'm going to tell you what. Jesus cares more for me than I do for my wife, and I love my wife. I don't wish anything bad on her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Boy, I sure hope God makes her sick, teach her something. I'll tell you, we don't think that's stupid. Well, some people do. There's a lot of stupid out here. But anyhow, for anybody who's sane, who's in Christianity, we're in Christ Jesus. We're the church.
Amen.
We're His glory in the earth. Hallelujah. Let Him be as glorious through you as He wants to be. Begin to say it. Begin to say those glorious things. Start talking what He will do for you. Don't be surprised. Your faith finally rises up. There hasn't been enough said is why people's faith don't rise up. Because they haven't said enough of what He will do. God will do this for me. Because the whole thing, we don't want people to think we're weird. Get off it. You're weird. Or either just go back to the world if you don't want to do it.
Amen. Preach.
What's the point? Mm-hmm. Let's be weird.
Amen.
Let's stand up and yell, God's good. God will deliver me. God will show us His salvation. Hallelujah. You want to see God saved? Watch it. Woo-hoo-hoo! Why not you? Hallelujah. Now, they're going to make fun of you. They'll call us holy rollers. I wish we'd go back to those times where I'm going to tell you, they'd scared to mess with us.
Amen.
That's right. They thought they were crazy, but God showed up where they were. Them crazy people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The whole trouble of the church today, the Spirit-filled church, got to be nothing but a bunch of respectable Christians. Respectable to the world, but not to God. Hallelujah. Let's get back over and be holy rollers again. Hallelujah. Let's get back to that place. Hallelujah. Where we'll declare the goodness of the God on us. We the church of Jesus Christ. Say, so you want to see God do something good? Come visit me.
Amen.
Woo! We'll show you God doing good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise you. Father, I just want to thank you.
Thank you,
oh, Lord God, you are so good. And your mercy endures forever. Lord, you're so good. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Lord God, you will show your salvation to us. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. We're not going to set aside the knowledge of your word. We're going to walk boldly in it in the name of Jesus. We're just going to be more and more confident about it. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, this is... Lord, this year is a start to, It is a start to the greatness of God in moving His time. Lord God, this is our year, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's our year. It's our year. It's our year. Hallelujah. It's the year to rise up. It's the year, hallelujah, to see His glory revealed. It's His year to see His blessing on His people. It's this year. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just stand up and we declare, Lord, this is my year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say that. This is my year. This is my year. Hallelujah. Blessing this year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All aspects of health and wealth are rising in me. I'm getting richer. I'm getting healthier. I'm getting wiser. Because I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is our year. This is, we're the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. The blessing's chasing us down. Hallelujah. It's overtaking us. Hallelujah. Lord God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Just say this. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. And all the blessings of the 91st Psalm are mine. They belong to me. They're in heaven's bank for me. I can draw on any of it at any time. Because it's mine. In the name of Jesus. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm above. I'm not beneath. I'm blessed in my storage houses. My bank accounts are growing. I have a lot to give. And I have a lot for me to have a good time. Hallelujah. It's mine. Hallelujah. My children are blessed. After me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So, now, doesn't it do something for your spirit when you say that stuff? Why don't we do it more often? I want to know. People go through hard times and never say that kind of stuff. Why don't you just get a gun and shoot yourself in the foot? You might as well, because that's all it is. See, this stuff works. See, I learned this. Lay in bed in the nighttime and say things when everything's going wrong and I'm laying in bed confessing about bed. This is great. God's blessing me. And woo, woo, woo. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to cry. You say the things that turn you on, not the things that turn you off. Get excited about it. You know? That's like, you know, walking up to your wife and, you know, you want to get close to her and you walk up and tell her, you know, you're pretty nice. Shake my hand. See, it happens. That's what we do with God.
Amen.
No, I'm going to tell you, make good confessions about Him.
Amen.
Make big confessions about what He'll do for you.
Amen.
It's in the book. If He ain't going to do it, He's a liar.
That's right.
Amen.
We tell people, oh yeah, God tells the truth. We ain't going to say it. Hallelujah. We're going to say it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I guess we got to come back to the days. See, back in the 80s, they used to have what they called the confession police. Remember?
Yeah.
You make wrong confessions, people be all over you. We need that in the church today. We need people walking around telling other people to shut up.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, they're telling, they have all this fake Christianity and then talking junk all the time. And tell them, you don't talk like that around here.
Amen.
That's not what you do.
Amen.
We're the blessed. You want to go down the curse, there's plenty of those places you can go to. But it ain't here.
Amen.
But you know what? We learned. Hey, I learned through that stuff. You watch what you say. You're going to talk around like you're some kind of big Christian and talk a bunch of dumb stuff. People will call you out on it. We don't want that today. We got this nice little cute church. Everybody gets to do what you want. Because I'm an American. I got rights. That's right. You have the right to devil to own your life. You have that right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't have to wait for you to correct my mouth. God's good at it. Hallelujah. Well, were you blessed today?
Yes.
Glory to God. Well, get on your donkeys and go home. Hallelujah. Kings and priests. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Tell you. Live. Live like you're the king and the priest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory.